sometimes I actually have a job to remember where I am, which is, and I can never remember what people do when they stand up, sit down with you, tell them to or not to do. I think my best experience was many years ago when I took service in Salvation Army and whatnot, civil service, and I couldn't understand why I didn't stand up for hymns automatically. And so it took me, I had to tell them. Life is strange, isn't it? And I guess we've all had that experience, haven't we? Wherever we've been, we go somewhere different. We're never quite sure what's going on. And we sort of think, what's the custom? But at the end of the day, I just have my own custom, so it's okay. But two really interesting readings this morning. And I want to start with a quote that's been lurking in my Bible. Sorry, it's been in my Bible many years ago. And it's by somebody called A. Nin. I don't know where I picked it up, but it says, "And the day came when the risk to remain tight in a bud was more painful than the risk it took to blossom. And the day came when the risk to remain tight in a bud was more painful than the risk it took to blossom." And I guess you might be able to see my wonderful visual aids. Tulips in different poises. But, you know, if you look after them, they do come out, don't they? And I've got one just in bud. Hopefully by the time I get home, it might be a bit further. But these other ones have really come out over the night. Because with the right nurture, and sometimes even with the wrong nurture, buds have to come out, don't they? And blossom. And you know, when you look at, particularly this time of year, when you look at what's out there, one day you see a tight bud on something, whether it's a rose, a tree, or some flower, and the next day it's fully out. Somehow it can't resist that. And I was certainly challenged in that sense of today's reading. Because if we give the wrong conditions, you just need a frost at the wrong time, and the buds and the growth is gone. Or we can sort of say, don't like that one, so you just put it out and it dies. Which is quite a cruel thing to do, really. But it seems to me that both readings are focusing on the fact that in our relationship with God, with Jesus, we cannot stay as a tight bud. We have to take that risk to step out. And we saw it very much in the reading from Acts, when Tabitha had died. But what I just loved about that story was the fact, the impact that she had had on so many people. And we are remembering, aren't we, at this time, the lives of both Robin Vincent and Phil Richardson, and the impact that they've had on so many people in so many different ways. And we're not told a lot about Tabitha, apart from the fact she was called a disciple. And we're all called to be disciples. But she was always doing good, helping people. And it's when she died and Peter was asked to come. We don't know why he was asked to come. It might be just to give them comfort, reassurance, share a message of eternal life with them. We just don't know. But they showed him everything but Tabitha had done. All things that she had made, she did her bit. And that's what happens when we blossom, when we allow ourselves to really become part of the life of Jesus and take those risks in his name. We blossom and we flourish. And the dilemma sometimes is we're not quite sure if we've got anything to offer. Tabitha and the folk around there did what they could, could, did what they were good at. And actually, it doesn't matter what we look like. It doesn't matter whether our surroundings come in a dusty, cracked pot. But what matters is that we take that risk to blossom. And that is going to be so true, isn't it, in the days ahead. Tonight we're going to celebrate John's ministry with us so far. And we're going to celebrate the fact that, I was going to say now that I'm with it, but that sounds extremely rude, that we have a privilege of him continuing to be here as our pastor. But it does mean that John will be taking risks, and we need to take risks as well, to blossom and to flourish under his leadership and guidance, and that of the Holy Spirit. We can stay where we are, as we like, if we want to. Or we can take a risk. The choice is ours. And sometimes risk-taking is scary. And I think I've decided risk-taking as you get older is scarier than when you were younger. When I look back and do some things I did, I just sort of think, I dare do it now. But that's a minor detail. And then we have the opposite extreme in that reading from John's Gospel. Tabitha and those disciples did what they could of the gifts and the skills that God has given them. They blossomed where they were and made an impact. In the reading from John's Gospel, we have the Jewish leaders. After Jesus talked about being the good shepherd, being the way, after he'd done so many miracles, and before we got to the chapter on the good shepherd, he'd healed a blind person on the Sabbath of all days. And they asked this question, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are Messiah, tell us plainly. Somewhere they didn't want to know. But Jesus sort of said, well, hang on, I've shown you, I've been with you, you've seen the works I've done with my Father, you've heard what I've been saying. Basically, the choice is yours. I don't know whether you've ever read a book called Jonathan Livingstone Seagull. A lovely little book. All about seagull, interesting enough. But it's how he basically takes a risk and blossoms. Most girls don't bother to learn more than simple facts of flight. How to get from a shore to food and back again. For most girls, it's not flying that matters, but eating. For this girl, Jonathan Livingstone Seagull, it wasn't the way he thought, because he loved to fly. And his thinking was not how to make himself popular with the other seagulls, but how he could experiment with the flying. And even his parents got cheesed off with him. And his dad said to him, this flying business is all very well, but you can't eat a glide, you know. Don't you forget that the reason you fly is to eat. And sometimes, I guess for those, some of those Jewish leaders, although there was dissension, you know, some said he was Messiah and some wasn't, and for us sometimes, that tension between where we are comfortable and where we need to take that risk to blossom. And there's another bit here where he kept practicing flying and it got dark, and of course seagulls never fly in the dark. And he had his voice in the back of him sort of saying, yeah, seagulls never fly in the dark. But Jonathan's reaction was, it's pretty. The moon, the lights twinkling on the water, clustering out little beacon trails through the night, and all so peaceful and still. And the voice said, "Get down, silly seagull. Get back, it's dark." And because of what he'd seen, he didn't. And he suddenly realised he could dive and really fly. He'd taken that risk. And then we move on. Sorry, you did want story time, didn't you? And he was called to the gathering of the seagulls, the Brotherhood. And he had to come and stand in the centre and listen to the words of the elder. And standing in the centre was meant to bring you shame, or possibly great honour if you'd done everything right, of course. And Jonathan standing there, he felt something hit. Knees went weak. I don't know what seagulls do with their ears or anything. His feathers sagged. He was there for shame. Impossible. Couldn't they understand what he had achieved? They were wrong, wrong. For his reckless irresponsibility, violating the dignity and tradition of the Gold family. I guess some of us had that in various churches we worshipped in. For not doing as we ought to do. And actually, I remember many years ago, a couple of us got told off for wearing jeans in church. And the elder goes on to sort of say, irresponsibility doesn't pay. Life is the unknown and the unknowable, except that we're put into this world to eat, to stay alive, as long as we possibly can. And then, like all good places, a person never speaks back to those in leadership roles. But Jonathan couldn't resist. He said, irresponsible? Who's more responsible than a gull who finds and follows a meaning, a higher purpose for life? For 1,000 years we have strapped back our fish heads, but now we have a reason to live, to learn, to discover, to be free. Give me one more chance. Let me show you what I've found. And the Brotherhood of Gulls turned their back on him. And I was intrigued how that tied up with that reading from John, where the Jewish leaders were sort of saying, we want concrete proof somehow that you're Messiah. You're not telling us anything. And yet they weren't seeing the signs. They weren't seeing the buds blossoming in people around Jesus. Jesus said earlier in the chapter, I've come to give them life, and life is all this greatness, it's fullness. My sheep listen to my voice. And my prayer this morning is that as we go away from here, reflect on all the readings ourselves, we might begin to see afresh where God wants us to be, where we need to take risks, however small they are. And in the beginning of June, we're coming to that day, Vision Day, where we all have something to offer. It doesn't matter, I was going to say how drunky, well, that's talking about chill, of course, or what our lifestyles are like, but however long we've been a Christian, there is still part of a bud that can be opened if we take that risk. And we need to take that risk together to walk where Jesus wants to take us in our journey together in faith. And the day came when the risk to remain tight in a bud was more painful than the risk it took to blossom.